May my mind dwell on that enchanting cowherd boy who is the highest limit of ever new playful amorous pastimes. As I read, please look at Madan Mohan. May my mind dwell upon his mass of curling locks. Can you see the curling locks? Which is fully decorated with a crown of the tail feathers of an intoxicated peacock. O mind, contemplate on him. When we hear the vibration coming from the flute in his mouth, we become so intoxicated that we chase after him. O mind, dwell on him as he is situated at the base of a wish-fulfilling tree, or on a boat in the midst of the Yamuna. Think of him as the Yamuna attends to him with her gently murmuring waters. O mind, look at the dhoti which is around his waist, which is enhanced by a girdle of tiny bells that ring sweetly. May my mind think about that beautiful youth whose luster steals the glory of the thunder clouds of the rainy season. I'm so sorry, I forgot to tell you. If you see that your children are not satisfied, it is your duty as a parent to take care of them. Think about that person, Krishna, who like a chakora bird is thirsty to drink the rays of the bewildering and lustrous monsoon-like face of the young daughter of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, Radharani. O mind, dwell upon this nectarian form of Madan Mohan, which is described by the poet Prabodhananda Saraswati, and which is the essence of all rasa. Those who are wise, like the pilgrims who came to Jamashtami, delight in this form within their hearts. Those who are wise and think about Madan Mohan become successful in their goal, whereas the fools wander in the cycle of repeated birth and death. What exists for them but temporary illusion? Hare Krishna. I would like to now bring our attention fully to Krishna and Balaram by narrating how they returned to Mathura. I think we have heard this morning how Vasudev brought Krishna out of Mathura, crossed with him the Yamuna, and then laid him next to Yashoda Mai, who became the mother of Krishna, who took care of Krishna. We will go a little bit ahead of time and describe what happened when Krishna was around 11 years old and when Akrura was given the order to bring Krishna out of out of Vrindavan, away from Mother Yashoda, to Mathura, where a huge wrestling match was arranged for by the king Kamsa on the occasion of Shivaratri. In this wrestling match, we know that Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna. So we start in Vrindavan. Akrura was in two minds when he was sent by King Kamsa to bring Krishna out of Vrindavan. One mind told him, "Very nice, Krishna is Bhagavan. Even though the king wants evil things with him, no problem, Krishna will take care of the king." But the other mind, which became stronger and stronger as he rode the chariot with Krishna and Balaram on top, told him, "It's a great problem. This boy, Krishna, is so indescribable sweet. I cannot tolerate that anyone wants evil for him." Krishna in Vrindavan is only driving on a bullock cart. He's a small little boy, very delicate. Even when a leaf falls on his soft skin, it leaves an imprint there. You must know, although Krishna is the source of the universe and countless universes come out of him just when he breathes out, he's so soft that if you touch his body, it feels as if you touch yogurt. You know, you go into the yogurt. Like little boys, Krishna and Balaram would jump up and down in excitement as they were driving on the chariot. And they would say, "Look at this peacock. Look at this tree. Look here and there." So when Akrura looked back and saw this all-attractive lord, his thought that he is God and he will take care of himself and I don't need to worry that anyone harms him disappeared, and he just thought, "Oh, he is so sweet and he is so delicate and so lovable. How can I do this? How can I believe my mind? How can I believe the horses who now pull Krishna out of Vrindavan and bring him to Mathura, where a huge arena has been constructed for him to meet the wrestlers?" So he was becoming more and more doubtful. And Krishna saw that his Uncle Akrura, was not really thinking of bringing him out of Vrindavan. So Krishna, who knows the mind of everyone, wanted to take this doubt out of Akrura. And therefore, Krishna directed Akrura's mind to the shore of the bank Yamuna. You must know that Krishna is in the heart of everyone. And it is due to Krishna's inspiration that we find a determination and a will in our heart. Like you have all come to Jamashtami, but don't think you have come alone. It was Krishna who made your decision in your heart firm so that you undertook this journey and came here. I think it's very important for a devotee to always remember that it is Krishna who guides leads and control him, his life. And then make the firm decision to give something back to Krishna, to take care of, to serve Krishna in gratitude. So, this is what we will be hearing about today. Akura had taken Krishna away from Mother Yashoda on the chariot. Mother Yashoda, again, as we heard this morning, was left standing on the road to Mathura like a painted picture, and she would not move. She would not move for years. She remained there looking in the direction in which Krishna had gone. Because Akrura had left early in the morning, after he had spoken all night long with Krishna's parents, he had not yet taken his bath. Krishna knew that, so he directed him to the banks of the river Jamuna. Let me describe to you this beautiful river which is so close to Krishna and which plays such an essential role in Krishna's pastime. The Yamuna is filled with a blackish type of water. It is effulgent like brilliant jewels, and the white sand on the left and right bank of the river Yamuna looks like very fine powdered beams of the moon. You find fishes and tortoises in the Yamuna, even today, which are known to always take their head a little bit above the river Yamuna. Why? Because Krishna is called Yamuna Tira Vanachari. That means he likes to walk at the bank of the river Yamuna. So all these fishes and all these tortoises would just go, if this is the water level, they will go whoop and see Krishna and go, Krishna, yoop, they would disappear again. So the fishes were known in Vrindavan as just going like whoop and then looking with unblinking eyes at Krishna, which is their particular biological advantage over the human beings. The gopis were commenting, why has Krishna created us with eyes that blink? Why has Brahma created us with eyes that blink? Brahma doesn't know how to create properly, because the moment the eyelid closes over the eye, we can't see Krishna any longer. This Brahma is really a very, very unintelligent creator. He should have created us with unblinking fish eyes. Have you noticed when you see fish, they don't have an eyelid. They don't need to blink. So the gopis want eyes like fishes, because they must have seen how the fishes, when Krishna would play his flute, they were going like whoop over the Yamuna and looking at Krishna. Whoop, whoop. The tortoises also. I would highly like to recommend to you to go to the banks of the Yamuna and sit down there. And even to this day, you will see how the fishes and tortoises will come out of the water and look around, trying to find Krishna. And then when they see you, they go, they are disappointed and they go back under the water. Hare Krishna. Please do not be offended by the fishes and the tortoise. So, the waters of the Yamuna are black because she constantly meditates on that Krishna who likes to playfully walk around on her banks playing the flute, as you can hear now in the background. So when Krishna saw Yamuna Mai, he quickly jumped down the chariot, came close to her, and took a sip of water for purification from his hand. Krishna here tells us what to do when we see this most sacred of all sacred rivers. Get down on your knees and immediately take a sip of water very reverentially. Then Akrura brought the chariot into a grove, on the edge of a grove of trees, so that there would be shade. And Krishna and Balaram got back on the chariot to wait until Akrura had taken his bath in the Yamuna. Now when Akrura went into the river of the Yamuna, he began to chant Vedic mantras. And then as he looked around, all of a sudden he saw the chariot with Krishna and Balaram in the waters of the Yamuna. He was perplexed. What had happened? First he thought it was only a reflection of the chariot which was parked at the edge of the little forest, which somehow had come on the waters. But then he saw, no. This is Krishna and Balaram sitting on my chariot. So he immediately rushed out of the Yamuna water and looked to the edge of the forest. And there on the edge of the forest, he could see his chariot and Krishna and Balaram. So he began to wonder, what is this double, the second chariot doing in the waters? So he went back thinking, I was in an illusion. Maybe I spoke too long in the night and my mind became hazy. But as he looked again in the waters, he saw Krishna and Balaram. And a moment later, he saw a big snake, Ananta Shesha, and Vishnu lying on top. We all know, we are Krishna's devotees, we know that Balaram expands into Ananta Shesha, this multi-headed snake which carries the universes. And we know also that Krishna expands as Vishnu, and as he breathes out, he manifests the countless universe just from a single breath. So we all know this, but Akrura, but imagine you see this, you enter the Yamuna and you see all of a sudden Ananta Shesha and on it Vishnu, and they were moving, and then he saw many saints and sadhus devatas coming around, crowding around Ananta Shesha and Vishnu, and starting to offer beautiful prayers. It was very loud. The prayers became louder and louder, as if a train was coming closer and closer and closer, and fulfilled the atmosphere with a loud, loud sound. So, as Akrura looked at Vishnu being glorified by these prayers, he started to lose his temperament and begin to cry tears of loving ecstasy. And then he said one prayer which I would like to recite for you. These are the words of Akrura. As rivers born from the mountains and filled by the rain flow from all sides, flow into the sea, so do all the paths of the demigod worshippers, the worshippers of nature, the Karmakandis and the yogis, in the end reach you. Mm. So he says, just as rivers flow into the ocean, but not the mountains from which they come. So do the processes of worship all really end in you? But some worshippers are ignorant and just do karma and yoga, and they remain like mountains, stationary in their position, but don't reach all with Krishna. Krishna is to be worshipped by all yoga. Krishna is to be worshipped by all knowledge, by all activities. He's the end goal of all human endeavor. But not all humans are aware of that. And therefore remain ignorant. And then he makes an interesting point. And a point how one does become conscious of Krishna. And I think this is a very important point to you. See, once Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna, asked Pajanya Maharaj a series of questions. And one question was also, how does one reach Krishna? And these are the questions of Nanda Maharaj. He says, by what influence are we insecure and fearful in our life? Pajanya answered, it's by our karma. Our karma makes us fearful in this world because we never know what comes next. Then Nanda Maharaj says, but where is shelter from this terrible fear which comes along with material existence? And Pajanya Maharaj, his father, answers, shelter from karma is only in bhakti. Please think about it. We all have our karma. It rolls over us like a wave rolls over a person who bathes in the ocean. Where is shelter from karma? It's not necessarily in the stoppage of all karma. Shelter is in the attitude, in bhakti. I do remember 3 years ago I stood before Radha Madan Mohan. I was diagnosed to die from cancer and I was fearful. I was standing before the deities, and we all know cancerous death is a very painful death where you lose everything slowly and finally your nerves. And I must say I was afraid. I could understand my karma was taking effect, and I began to pray to Radha Madan Mohan very, very consciously from the depths of my heart. And as I prayed, I experienced what you all have experienced, that when you stand before the deities and you really connect with the deities, in a mysterious way, the deities begin to accept you and give you a feeling of security. And a feeling that whatever you desire will certainly become fulfilled. Don't worry, we are here to protect you. So I was standing and receiving this gift from Radha Madan Mohan, this feeling of acceptance, and could feel how bhakti came and rose in my heart. And as I was standing with devotion, loving devotion before the deities, I felt, I don't mind if I die from cancer. I don't mind because I have found shelter. Shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. So, the question is, how do you get this bhakti? Where do you find it? And the answer which is given is, you find bhakti in the association of the bhaktas, of the devotees of Krishna. That's why it's so valuable to just sit together as devotees and relish the pastimes of Krishna and hear about Krishna's mind, how he thinks, and in this way become conscious. When the life of a conditioned soul who wanders from one body to the next and the next and the next comes to an end. At that time only he meets devotees who talk to him about Krishna. And when the conditioned soul sits in the assembly of devotees and hears about Krishna, at that time Krishna sits in the back of the assembly with the gopis and listens. What are they talking about me? This is the wonderful effect of Krishna Katha, that Krishna becomes attracted where his devotees talk about him, and then sits in the last row, so to say, and the back, so to say, leaning against the wall. I don't think he will lean against the wall, but he's there. And then all the devotees can feel in their hearts, as the Krishna Katha goes on, Krishna's presence, and they feel sure and safe. And then the end, Akura prays a prayer which I would love to chant with you. Namaste Vasudevaya. Sarvabhutakshayaya cha. Takshayaya cha. Rishikesha namastubhyam. Rishikesha namastubhyam. Prapanam pahimam prabho. Panam pahimam prabho. O son of Vasudev, obeisances to you, within whom all living beings reside. O Lord of the mind and the senses, again I offer you my obeisances. O Master, please protect me who am surrendered unto you. I request you to fold your hands now and look at the beautiful form of Madan Mohan and pray to him. O Madan Mohan, obeisances to you, within whom all living beings reside. O Lord of the mind and senses, I offer you my obeisances. O Master, please protect me, who am surrendered unto you. Beautiful prayer, and Akrura prayed this until Krishna withdrew his vision. Very excited, Akrura came out of the waters of the Jamuna, and he came to the bank of the Yamuna and dressed himself and put on fresh tilak. You know, when you take your bath in the river Jamuna, even today, papakshaya, the sinful reactions are taken away from you. When you come out of the water, you feel 10,000 tons lighter without weight reduction. You feel that your karmic reactions have been removed by the sweet blackish waves of Yamuna. And you feel something else. Krishna has bathed so many times in the river Yamuna. And the river Yamuna is therefore thinking of Krishna, how he played in the waters, how he splashed his cowherd boyfriends and later the gopis. How Krishna, how the gopis, beautiful gopis, would be dressed in white bathing cloth, which covered them, and how Krishna went with them in the river, water, and how Krishna began to splash the gopis, so much so that that Radharani would hide amongst golden lotus flowers. Her face is very golden, and Krishna would